join me and stand. Grab a hymnal, turn to page number 28. Page 28, there shall be showers of blessing. Page number 28 in your hymnals this morning. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Amen. Brother Ryan, would you open us up in prayer? And please remain standing and turn to page number 70. Page number 70, rescue the perishing. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Page number 70.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We mourn the erring ones, lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus the mighty. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently wend them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Amen. You may be seated.
Well, the Lord's given. giving us another good day out there. We've got the potluck coming up. We'll start the sign-up sheet around here. Well, it's already been started. We'll continue the sign-up sheet here for the potluck. That is the week, 2 weeks from now, because next week we've got Easter service. We have another deal going around, and Bruce Clem has got lung cancer. And so this is a card for Mr. Bruce Clem. Let him know that we're praying for him, that we care about him, and that Lord comfort him. And so we'll send this card around for him. I got an extra piece of paper on there too, so you can write big and whatnot. And let's see. So this Tuesday, I'd say day after tomorrow is the Lord's table for church members. And once again, the Lord commanded us as a church to meet and to remember the Lord's death until he come. And so if you're a church member, please be here Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. And we'll have a short sermon. And then we'll remember the Lord's His death on the cross, what he did for us on the cross, because the following Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. And invite your friends, if you would, to the Easter service. And we'll preach a good message on what Jesus Christ has done for us and how he rose again from the dead. The only one that had the power over and from the grave, Jesus Christ. And he is the first fruits of those that rose again. And if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you will rise again out of the grave. We have something to look forward to. We have eternity to look forward to. And when we've been there 1,000 years, we'll no less more sing his praise. However the song goes, but we've been there 1,000 years, we'll still be praising and singing. We got something to look forward to because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. April 8th, the Sunday afterwards, a potluck. There'll be no evening service. May 2nd, Wednesday evening, Brother Keith Drinkard, he's a church planner. He's out of, I don't know the acronym, but it's the missionaries that we support. He's out of, what's that? GIBF, Global Independent Baptist Fellowship, out of Texas. And so so he's one of us, if you will, and so he's coming through here, and we'll have him speak to us here that Wednesday evening. And then May 6th. How many got letters about May 6th? Good. May 6th. Be here May 6th. We need 75% for the business meeting. Does anybody still need or did not get, but need and want a bylaws amendments and the bylaws as they are now? Because during the business meeting, we won't be able to discuss we won't be able to go through it very thoroughly, because otherwise we'll be here for hours. And we've done that as a group of guys here. We went through that and we pared it down to a second draft, and this is the second draft. And so what we'll be voting on is this second draft. There may be amendments and different things going on to amend the amendments, but if you need them. And I don't want anyone to be blindsided. Oh, I had a question about this. Ask questions now before the business meeting. We'll be happy to answer them and that. So then we got the business meeting here May 7th and 8th, Northwest Idaho Baptist Fellowship Preachers Meeting. And we'll have more on that later. And then we got Mother's Day Banquet. Lori will have a sign-up sheet going for the Mother's Day Banquet, May 12th. And then, of course, May 13th is Sunday, Mother's Day. And we got camps there. We got congratulations to Sarah, Ramon, and a family with Laura Bell. Laura Bell's back there in the corner, isn't she? Is she sleeping? Oh, good. Should we all shout and wake her up? No. Okay. I got the all right. Then we got see here on the bottom it says Sunday nights we'll study the book of Judges, and Wednesday nights we'll study the seven churches. During the month of April, the last 3 weeks of April, We will go through end-of-life things, and I'd like to have the kids up here. And we'll go through end-of-life things, whether it be including wills and power of attorney for health care, power of attorney for finances, personal representatives, and those kind of things. And we'll go through it from a biblical standpoint and open up lines of communication and see what the Lord has for us, and you know, to be good stewards with what the Lord's given us. And I think it'll be very, very helpful. A lot of positive feedback. So that'll be during, and I'll put that on next week's bulletin. And Lord's table, hey, we're looking for another good day, aren't we? Thank you everyone for being here. Appreciate it.
All right, please stand once again and grab a hymnal. Turn to page 204. 204, to God be the glory. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Page 204, to God be the glory.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice.
We'll sing that second verse. When you reach the chorus, greet your neighbor with a handshake on the second.
Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives.
Thank you. As you find your place, join me in the last verse of page 204. To God be the glory on the last.
Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great a rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, hear Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Amen. Brother Ty Murphy, would you ask the blessing on our offering, please? Amen. God bless you this morning. This time we're going to have a special by the ladies ensemble.
Crucify him, he's to blame.
God, I wonder where we'd be here, where we'd be this morning without Jesus Christ. If you would please take your Bibles. We'll look at, we're going to go a couple places this morning. We like going a couple places in our Bible because we know no matter where we go in our Bible, we know it's true. So we'll go to Mark chapter 15 first. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, verse 12. Pilate answered and said again unto them, the Jews, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Of course, when they scourged someone, they strip him down naked to the waist and they whip him with a cat of nine tails and 39 stripes with that and rip away the flesh down to the bone, and so they scourged him, and the soldiers, and the Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified, and the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they gathered, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it about his head, and began to salute him, hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, bowing their knees, worshipped him. They clothed him with purple. They not only put a crown of head around his thorn, but they clothed him with purple. Some in other accounts it's red, but purple is scarlet. It's a scarlet purple robe. And they did this because they looked at Jesus as a joke, a big fat joke. You purport to be the King of the Jews, we'll make you king. Ha, 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 ha. Now let's turn our Bibles to Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22, verse 1. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me in the words of my roaring? This is David writing this. This is a prophecy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We see in verse 6, but I am a worm. The worm here means that not only that the worm is the lowest and the despicable and a detestable thing, but this particular worm here means a crimson grub. Crimson. And it looks too, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is probably no more than crimson in color as he hung upon a cross. I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted on the Lord. Ha, ha, ha. Once again mocking him. That he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And let's move to verse 13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melted in the midst of thy bowels. of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. In other words, it's a pot that's busted into this shard. It's all dried up. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me to the dust of the earth. For dogs, they have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. In other words, his bones are not, some of the flesh is tore away from his bones, but he's been emaciated. He's been tried for the last, oh, say, 12 hours, 14 hours, and then, well, more than that, and then he's put on a cross, and he can tell all his bones. They look and they stare upon me. Verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Let's read verse 18 again. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Now finally, let's go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 23. And the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my garment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, and that's John. He saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And said he to his disciple, behold thy mother. See, Jesus, even though hanging on the cross, bearing the sins of the world, he's still interested in others and the well-being of others. After this, verse 28, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled it with a sponge with vinegar, and they put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And Jesus therefore had received the vinegar. He said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. We're concentrating on this morning, casting lots for his vesture. The four Roman soldiers. And who were they? They were Roman soldiers. They were commanded to carry out the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what were they doing? What were the soldiers doing while Jesus, the King of the Jews, dying for the world? What were they doing when he was dying for their sin and the sin of the whole world? Can you imagine them after casting lots? And casting lots is more or less dice, if you will, or die, the plural of dice. And they were throwing die at the foot of the cross while Jesus is hanging there. And you imagine one man, the one man who did win, he got this coat that they took off of Jesus and they put back on him. He got this coat, and I don't know if Jesus wore this coat while he bore the cross, but I imagine that coat was stained with the blood of Christ. Imagine him saying, hey, I won. He comes home that night and he says, honey, guess what? What? He says, look what I won. And she says, what do you want me to do with that? You expect me to wash it? Look at the stains on that. And she had no idea that it was stained with the blood of the Savior of the world. But they had cast lots for this coat. Now, if you would turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 14. Hang with me here. Luke chapter 14, verse 25, and there were great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, verse 26 of Luke 14, if any man come to me, Jesus says, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitting not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish, not able to finish, it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. God puts a premium on finishing. Or what king, verse 31, going to make a war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able to be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Hey, I'm outnumbered. Am I going to be able to go to war? I need to consult. I need to be concerned. Or else, verse 32, the other is yet a great way off. He sendeth an ambassage and desire conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you. Now, Jesus is speaking to us this morning. He's speaking directly to you this morning. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears, in other words, listen up, everybody. Every one of us need to listen up this morning. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us on the cross. And dear God, I pray that our hearts are prepared, that our hearts are cultivated and soft this morning, and that our ears are open, and our eyes are open. And please, Lord, remove all the misconceptions, the false preconceptions, that we might learn your word this morning and take it to heart. Oh, dear God, I pray, Lord, let us be disciples. We ask these things in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Disciple of Christ, a disciple is a follower or a student. All of us should be disciples. Every one of us here that can name the name of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're all believers, but that does not mean we are disciples. We see here what Jesus Christ teaches on discipleship. And he turned and said to them in verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, well, first of all, hate here is a relevance, a preference for one thing or another, a degree. So it doesn't mean I have to hate my mom and dad or my brother. Although when we get in fights when we were kids, like I say, I'm surprised there aren't more injuries amongst families, especially with siblings fighting. Does anybody know what I mean? But we do not have to continually hate our siblings in that manner, but hate means we give Christ the preeminence. above all others, our moms, our dads, our sisters, our brothers, yea, our whole life also, our own life. We're to give him the preeminence, make him number one in our life, if we are to be a disciple, a follower, a student in Christ. That's number one, Jesus Christ says about discipleship this morning, is yea, we must give Christ the preeminence. Number two this morning, verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In other words, in times of affliction, we are to bear our cross. Bear the cross here is figuratively meaning something burdensome or shameful. There will be troubles and problems in our lives. Jesus Christ never promised us a rose garden. He never promised us a cakewalk. He never promised us eternal life in this body, in this temporal body. Jesus Christ never promised us any of those things. He was very truthful with us. He says, you will have tribulation. You will be afflicted. But my goodness, we have the great comforter that we can go to that comforteth us in all things. And in times of affliction, if we do not bear our cross, and if we look to Jesus and look to God and shake our fist at him and say, why? And turn our back on him, yea, we cannot be his disciple, cannot be his follower, cannot be his student, if we do not bear the cross that he's allowed us to bear. What about service? Verse 28, and which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he is sufficient to finish it? The one word in the McCurdy household that we all know, that we learned when we were in kindergarten, we weren't in kindergarten, but we were that age. We didn't have to go to kindergarten. That's why I'm where I'm at now. But we learned a big word while we were in at that age, at 5 years old. The word that all of us kids know is excavation. When we were about 5 years old, my dad hired Bud Mint up there. I don't know if anyone knows Bud Mint. It doesn't matter. To dig an excavation up past Unionville. All those granite rocks, they blew some rocks apart with a dynamite and broke, busted windows and everything else. But when Bud Bent was done, we had an excavation. And we would go to Central School and us kids, we were pretty, when you look at us McCurdy kids, we were pretty stupid. We really were. Because we would brag about our excavation. We got an excavation. Of course, what's an excavation? Oh, you don't know what an excavation is? Well, it's a big hole. Because my dad has plans to build a house. We got an excavation. All we need is a house. When we got to be in fifth grade, we still had an excavation. In junior high, kids started coming up to the house, you know, and the parents, we'd be driving with their parents. And, oh, yeah, we live right here, turn right here. We'd drive up, and you drive to their parents. Well, what's that? Oh, that's the excavation. In high school, we'd have friends drive up, and they'd drive, because we'd get in trouble then if you jumped down the thing, because by golly, you're caving the thing in. So we got whacked whenever we jumped off the deal, even though it was fun, off the edge, because you didn't want to destroy the excavation. I know high school friends drive up, and my dad's got stakes with reflectors on that, so no one drives around the corner into the excavation, and we get the same, that's the excavation. Then we have friends that are growing up, and we go up there, we meet people up there. What's that hole? Well, that's the excavation. Dad even then built a septic system there for the new house, and then the old house, the septic went bad. We dug by hand and got a 4-inch pipe that went from the old septic system down in the new septic system in the excavation, just outside the excavation, and went to the new drain field. My dad and mom are living in our house. This is 40 years later. No, this is 45 years later. And I'm going, my mom took my dad down to Tennessee to be with my brother while I got all the stuff ready to clean up and sell and burn piles. We were running 5 burn piles and 6 roll-off dumpsters. And one of those, you'll never guess where one of the big, where the biggest burn pile was. In the excavation. Yeah. And our friends made, ha ha, you don't have a house yet. No, we would tell you since first grade, here we are, seniors in high school, still no house, but we got an excavation. Yeah. Thank you. We have an excavation. I said all that to say this. We trust that Christ is our Savior. There's some of us in here this morning who trust that Christ is our Savior, but we did not count the cost. It's easy to trust Christ as Savior when we want to have eternal life. It's easy to trust Christ as Savior when we now have a Savior, a Comforter, a Peacemaker. We have all these things, but we fail to count the cost because we have not finished. We refuse to finish because when we got the excavation, but we've not finished what God expects us to do, and that's to be a disciple, a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we failed to count the cost. We have not finished. Some of us in here intend not to finish. We're complacent with the fact that I'm saved, and after this, I am going to do my own thing, period, end of story. Hey, I am more than happy with my Christian excavation. But let's look a couple verses further and see what Jesus Christ has to say about our spiritual excavation. Look at this. And which of you, in verse 28, intend to building a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation or dug the excavation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Let's get a hold of that thing this morning. We had begun, but we failed to count the cost. And whether we know it or not, whether we realize it or not, whether we want it to be the truth or not, there are people mocking us today. There are people mocking you today who did not count the cost and refused to finish your spiritual walk because you're simply complacent, you're satisfied, you're content with having Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you will not be a follower or a student of Jesus Christ. You've brought upon yourself the condemnation, the shame and the embarrassment that we had as kids. Whether you realize it or not, people watch you. You purport to be a Christian. You purport to know Christ as your Savior. You purport to have a changed heart and a changed life. And yet you make a mockery out of your Christianity because you failed to count the cost And now you've put a black eye, a mark, upon your Savior. Not only when it comes to giving Christ the preeminence, not only when it comes to affliction, not only when it comes to service with regard to discipleship, but what about the world? The world. Verse 31. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Hey, being in this world is not easy. It's a battle. It looks like a losing battle. It looks like we're outnumbered in the world. Or else, verse 32, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desires the conditions of peace. Some of us in here have failed to calculate whether our resources are sufficient to win this battle with the world. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. No servant can serve two masters. There's a lot of us in here this morning that want to serve two masters. We want to serve God, but we want to serve the world in the worst way. We will go to all ends to get up early in the morning to do something for the world. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's too cold. It was too cold this winter. Now it's spring and we've got spring stuff to do. And in the summer it'll be too hot and the kids will be on vacation. I'm not against vacations. But what I'm saying, we have all kinds of excuses not to serve God. But when it comes to serving the world, there are very few excuses. What I'm saying is we have sent an ambassage to the world and made peace with the world. And we failed to be a disciple, a student, a follower of our Lord and Savior because we chose the world over Jesus Christ. Now we are to be in the world. We're here, baby. That's all there is to it. But when we love the world more than Jesus Christ, we cease being a disciple of Christ and we've made peace with the world. We failed to count the cost. Others mock us. They know. They know where we are. The lost world knows more about where we are in our spiritual walk than we do. Can I say that? Because they look at us objectively. They know. They're very fully aware of what a Christian is expected to be, and they're fully aware of where we are this morning in our Christian walk. Finally, this summation here of discipleship is salt. Verse 34, Jesus says, salt is good. Oh, let's go to 33. So likewise, if you love in the world and make peace of the world, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, verse 34, but if the salt were lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? The salt that they got back then was in a mixture of earth, and everybody knows that when you put water to salt, it dissolves and goes away. It's leaching, it leaches away. And so all you're stuck is with this earth, and there's no saltiness to it anymore. The salt is in the context of discipleship, the qualifications of discipleship, the problems that come along with this walk of Christianity, the preparation for discipleship, and finishing the job of discipleship. Finishing. Forsake all, including our lives, the cost of following Jesus, this battle that we've got with the world, and to give Jesus preeminence. And if We're not able to do that. We're just like salt that's lost its savor, watered down. Many of us are living a watered down form of Christianity this morning. And when someone lives a life of Christianity, we look at them and mock them. Hello. We mock those who live a separated life. Discipleship, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not something to be undertaken very lightly. The costs are high. There is needed forethought and preparation. And to quit after having begun. Nobody likes a quitter. But many of us here have quit this thing called discipleship. It was easy to begin, but we've quit. And to quit after begun is a disgrace. Let's turn our Bibles back to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout, and they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and in my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. What were the soldiers doing while Jesus Christ, King of the Jews, King of the world, King of our soul, King of kings and Lord of lords, what were they doing while he was dying for the sin of the whole world? These soldiers were playing games. They were playing games at the foot of the cross. They were trying to better their lives without Christ, gaining a coat, a piddly worldly coat compared to the scheme of eternity. They were doing this with their own strength and ability. And while they were at it, they were gambling. Gambling, playing the odds. They were oblivious to Christ. They were oblivious to what he was doing on the cross. The Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Creator, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. They had no idea what was going on. They were casting lots for a coat. Very, very insignificant compared to eternity. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we at Liberty Baptist Church want you to know that salvation comes by faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. It is not by coming to a Baptist church. It is not by giving. It is not by baptism. It is not by being the best person we can be. Salvation, being saved or delivered from your sin, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being saved comes by putting our faith in his finished work. Oh, won't you be saved this morning? Simply call on him. Say, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And he'll meet you. He'll save you. He promises to give you eternal life. God loves you so much. Do you know what? Like the soldiers, a lot of us get saved and we live and we better our lives without Christ. We're wheelers and dealers, and we get the best angles on this, that, and everything. I'm there. I've been there. And we try to live this life without Christ. We do our own thing. How many Christians have left the Lord, left His Word, and their life is a shambles this morning? Like Johnny Duncan. Remember Johnny Duncan, the country western, looking for love in all the wrong places? We're looking for contentment in all the wrong places as Christians this morning. We go to the world to look for contentment. We go to the entertainment to look for contentment. We do all these things. We neglect the things of God to fulfill this flesh, and we go to the world for all those things. And this morning, your life may be a shambles. Yes, you carry your Bible. Yes, you may serve the Lord. Yes, you may be a Baptist. Yes, you read the King James Bible. But your life this morning may be in a shambles because you've left your first love, Jesus Christ, and you're trying so hard to find contentment in the world. I've got news for you. This world hates you. This world will chew you up, spit you out, and leave you on the side of the road.
Amen.
You have got to turn back to Jesus Christ and be a disciple, be a follower, be a student, and forsake the world and count the cost and calculate and finish what you started. You gamble your life away. Proverbs 13 says, whosoever despiseth the world shall be destroyed, or despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Why would you gamble your life this morning as a Christian by going to the world for all these things? The way of the transgressor is hard. You choose to find your enjoyment in alcohol, in different things that forget, that get your mind off of the Lord. Oh, how can he say that in a Baptist church? We're human beings. Our flesh is weak. We become oblivious to Christ, his love, his work, his expectations, and we give ourselves, me, I wish I was taller, me, the preeminence, even above Jesus Christ. We began our Christian walk with Jesus and we quit. Now we're gambling on a life without Christ. We're oblivious to what he would have us to do and how to live. We're serving ourselves instead of serving Christ. We're defeated. And we've made peace, and we love this world more than we love Jesus Christ. We are no different than the Roman soldiers. We're playing games. Playing games. We come through these doors, we play church. We have our roles. Well, I'll be a tither. Okay, you be a tither. I'll be the usher. Okay. And I'll be the faithful one. Okay, I'll be the faithful one. And I'll be the guy that sits up front. Okay. And I'll be the guy that's got to have a guy sit in the back. I'll sit in the back. And we have our own roles. We're playing church. Because when we walk out those doors, we're back to the life that we actually love more than Jesus Christ. We're not a disciple. We choose not to follow him. We play games. But there's good news this morning. Hey, we got good news this morning. We don't have to play games. Because just days prior to these Roman soldiers casting lots, we see Jesus Christ coming to Jerusalem, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and it says, Hosanna in the highest, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Save now, the Jews said. Save now. We've got a Savior that loves us. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have a Savior that died for us. We have a Savior, hello, that wants the best for us, not only for eternity, but especially in this life. Right now, we have a purpose. Our purpose is to be a disciple. And God will do everything he can to nurse us, to nurture us, to see us through this thing called this temporal life. There's good news, because look in verse 28 after this, verse 28 after Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. See, everything here is going according to God's plan, the way it was prophesied. And verse 29, now there was a set of vessels full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Oh, praise God, he didn't say, I'm finished. He said, it's finished. Because 3 days and three nights later, Jesus Christ would rise again from the dead. The power over death, the power over the grave. We need not live in this life of playing games. We've got a Savior that loves us, and we've got a Savior that defeated death, and we've got a Savior that wants to give us the victory in this world today. When we fully realize what Christ has done for us and completely understand how much he loves us, which I don't think we'll able to completely understand, when we comprehend what he's done for us and given us a victorious life of peace, joy, and hope, when we can finally be content with our existence on this temporal earth, and that's a life of serving the risen Savior. When we finally grasp what he's accomplished on our behalf, we can say to ourselves, wow, what a privilege, and an honor to serve the risen King. We won't have to play games anymore. You're tired of playing games. See, all I can do is speak. I can't drag people around or change people's minds or change people's hearts. You have to be honest with yourselves this morning. Are you tired of playing games? Do you play games? God doesn't want us to play games. God wants us to be real. God wants us to follow him. Oh, but if I follow him, I won't be able to do this. Yes, you can do a lot of things. And you know what? Those things that you do now, you'll still be able to do. Because just God is a supernatural God. And it's amazing how he gives his people time. You serve the Lord, he gives you more time. I don't know how it works, but it works. Give it a try. Give it a try, and you'll realize the miraculous power of God. And then when you do some of those things that you enjoy in the world, you'll have that much more peace, that much more joy, because you're a disciple. We're going to have an invitation this morning. Are you playing games at the foot of the cross this morning? Can I say this? At least the soldiers had an excuse. None of us have an excuse this morning to play games. Do you really believe the Bible? Do you really believe the Word of God? Do you really believe Jesus Christ is your Savior? Why not be his disciple? You'll have a life that you never imagined. Maybe some of you quit being his disciple. God puts a premium once again on finishing. Every one of us, really, I don't have to say these things, just reminding us, refreshing us, because every one of us knows that this is the truth. Some of us have quit. For whatever reason, some of us have quit. Some good reasons, some not as good reasons. But Jesus Christ wants us to follow him. He wants us to be a disciple. Jesus Christ does not want people to mock us for not finishing and counting the cost. Jesus Christ does not want us making peace with the world. It's a battle. He knows it. He wants to help us this morning. How many of us put ourselves and others and things of the world before Christ? We've trusted Jesus Christ to save our soul for eternity. Why can't we not trust Him with our life here on earth? Let's be thankful. Be thankful with a heart of gratitude and not play games. Page 17 this morning. Disciple. Maybe ask God to forgive you for playing games. Boy, get it taken care of now. Confess to the Lord now. Ask for help now. That's what this time is for.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Aren't you glad we got a God that will never leave us nor forsake us? And though we fall short in the discipleship area, He's all merciful. He's patient. He's forgiving. We're His. He's ours. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And He's taken us to heaven regardless. Oh, praise God. Let's pray. Brother Bill Nelson, would you close us in prayer, please?